Galatians chapter 1. And this morning I'd like to preach a message that I call the old time religion. When I speak of religion, I'm not speaking of a denomination. I'm speaking of religion in the way the old timers used to use it, as far as a person getting saved and knowing the Lord as their Savior. Used to be that a person would not join a church unless they had been saved and born again. So the old timers used to say when somebody joined the church, you got religion. Did you get religion? I've got religion. The reason they used to say that is because when they would associate themselves with a church that preached the Word of God. And this morning when I speak about the old time religion, I'm not speaking about the Baptist, nor the Presbyterian, nor the Church of Christ, the Church of God, nor the Catholic Church, nor any denomination in particular. I'm talking about salvation and a person being saved and being born again. No religion ever saved anybody, and it never will save anybody. If you're trusting on your religion to save you, you're as good as in dead in hell with the door shut. You don't have to worry about it. Don't think about it. Don't get upset about it, but that's where you're going to go. The Bible tells us that salvation is in a person and not in any religion nor creed or doctrine. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. In Galatians chapter 1, we begin to read in verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Notice Paul declaring his apostleship and telling you from whom he gets this message. Not man, nor by man, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of the God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that calls you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And as we said before, so say I now again, just in case you didn't get it, here come one more time. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? Not talking like that, you don't, amen. For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads for prayer as we begin the message today. Now, Father, we're thankful today that we do have a great and wonderful Savior. We're thankful, Lord, that He is concerned about the affairs of this life. We're thankful that He's concerned about the affairs of our life enough that as individuals He came to seek and to save us. And Lord, that He not only saves us, but He secures us and takes care of us in this life. We're thankful that He's a constant companion, a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, a person who will never leave us nor forsake us. We're thankful for that promise today. I pray today that you'd bless and honor the Word of God, that, Lord, people might have open ears and attentive heart and mind today to listen to the message from this Word. I pray today that the Lord Jesus Christ would be lifted up and exalted. I pray the Holy Spirit would bear witness to the truth that I'm about to say. And whether they listen to it by way of radio or sitting here today, may the Spirit of the living God convict lost people of their need of Jesus Christ. And Lord, may it be a blessing to Christian people. May they be strengthened and edified and rooted and grounded and built up in the faith. And I pray that in all that is said and done, the name of Jesus Christ would be honored and glorified. For we pray it in His name and for His sake alone. Amen. Now in Galatians chapter 1, we find Paul writing, and what some people might say to be some kind of harsh words that were spoken. And nonetheless, even though they may be harsh words, they're true words. Bob Jones Sr. one time said something that I like. He said a lot of things that I like. Fact is, about everything he said I like. But he said one thing I'll never forget. He lived in a day when they were having big revival meetings and big citywide campaigns, evangelistic campaigns, whatever you'd call them. And when they had those meetings, they used to have different preachers on the platform. They'd have different preachers lead in prayer and different preachers to come up and take up the offering, lead in prayer for the offering. And of course, he opposed all of those preachers who were allowed to come up on the pulpit or the platform that were modernists and liberals. Many a preacher who professed to be a Christian would have a modernist or a liberal lead in prayer. And old Bob Jones Sr., he said, if we had the kind of religion that Paul had, instead of asking them to lead in prayer, we'd ask God to curse them. That's what we'd do. Now, you probably wouldn't have too many preachers on the platform with you if you did that. But the day we live in is much like that. We live in a day when people will shake hands with modernists and liberals, people who do not preach the gospel of Jesus Christ nor true salvation, and yet they'll have that man in their platform or on their platform have him preach in their pulpit the Word of God. The Bible says to say much about salvation here this morning, and I'd like to talk for a few minutes about what the Bible says about the old-time religion and what it really is. Religion, as we think about it, has been distorted, as many other word has been distorted, and the word doesn't mean what it once meant. And as I said before, when the old-timers spoke of religion, they spoke of salvation and somebody being saved. So this morning, when I talk of the old-time religion, I'm talking about salvation and somebody being saved. Now, Paul laid down some very harsh words here. He said, I marvel you're so soon removed from the gospel, the grace of Christ that was preached, to another gospel. But then he said, it is not another. Now, that's not a contradiction. All Paul is saying, he said, is you've left the one true gospel and went to something else, which although it may be called another gospel, it is not another gospel, for there is but one gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I marvel that you're so soon removed. And he said, I've got a message for you, and here it is. Short, sweet, right to the point, and this is it. Though we, me, my fellows, my brothers, a preacher, or anybody else, a human being, or an angel from heaven, come down to you. That's pretty strong. I mean, there's fellows now claiming, you know, they've got a divine book because some angel came and stood at the feet of their bed and told them to go get some golden tablets and write it down. Now, the Bible nailed them before they was ever born. Amen? He said, though we, or an angel from heaven, if an angel came from heaven and stood in this pulpit today and preached another gospel than what's found in the Word of God, Paul said, let him be accursed. Yeah. He said, in case you didn't get it, I'll repeat it again. Though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel than that which you've received, let him be accursed. And you say, it's pretty strong words. People need to hear strong words today. They've been given little words so long, and people been talking nice and soft to them. If you're ever going to get through, you better have something strong to say, or they're not going to get it. Now, why did he say that? I'll tell you why. Because Paul was preaching the true gospel, and every time he'd preach a true gospel, some devil or demon would come along behind him and preach a false gospel and destroy that which he'd done. Haven't you seen that happen a lot of time? You witness to somebody and tell them about the Lord and tell them how to get saved. Nobody is interested in their soul until you begin to tell them the true gospel. And then when you tell them the true gospel, here comes the Tonger and the JWs and everybody else coming by, just coming by to pluck the seed that's been sown alongside of the way. Doesn't it make you mad every now and then? Doesn't it upset you? You lead somebody to Jesus Christ or gets concerned about their soul. Nobody would speak to them before. Nobody had talked to them before. And then this, all of a sudden, they get this real burden for a certain individual. You know why? They're led by the devil as much as a true preacher is led by the Spirit of God. The devil guides his ministers to the places he wants them to go, just like God guides his ministers. And if you don't believe that, you don't know much about God and the devil and what he does. Now, what is the old-time religion? Number one, it is a bloody religion. It is a bloody religion. Now, some of you don't like the word blood. A lot of Christian people kind of squeamish. They don't like the word blood. But listen, the old-time religion is a bloody religion. We live in a day when Baptist people want to take the word blood out of the songbooks and remove every song that has the word blood mentioned in it because it's not too nice. It's not very cool. You know, it's not up class. It's not in town. It's not the way people that are refined and educated. And after all, every Christian is a refined, educated, nice person. And if you were nice, you wouldn't talk about the word blood so much. Preachers want to take it out of their message and remove it. Let me tell you, the Bibles that are coming out in America want to take the blood out and destroy it and remove it from the Word of God. Let me tell you, the Bible said the life, the life, the life, the life of the flesh is in the blood. Remove the blood from your body and you'll drop dead and die. You want to know why so many churches in America today are dead spiritually? Because they no longer proclaim the old bloody religion. That's why. You want to know why the new Bibles are dead? I'll tell you why. They've lifted the life flow, the life stream from God and from the fountain and throne of God, the blood of Jesus Christ. You know why so many preachers, they forgot to proclaim the blood and tell people about the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood. See, I don't like that. Didn't think you would before I said it, so I want to emphasize it over and over again so you'll get it. It is a bloody religion. A religion that is founded upon the blood of Jesus Christ. A religion that is founded upon the precious blood that He shed. Cut this book anywhere and it'll bleed. Open it to any book that you'd like and it'll bleed. You cannot turn the pages of this book and find the blood anywhere to be taken out. But from Genesis to Revelation, the blood is found. The first two people sin, and what does God do? He kills an animal, sheds the blood. Cain and Abel come along. One is accepted, one's rejected. Why? Because one brought a sacrifice. It was a blood sacrifice. Open the pages of the Old Testament and come to the Levitical law. And what is it? Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Finish the pages of the Old Testament, and John, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of this world." Listen, my friend, you can never get away from the blood of Jesus Christ. When you talk about salvation, when you talk about Bible salvation, the blood of Jesus Christ has to be mentioned there. The Bible said, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin." The Bible said the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. The Bible said, "Having made peace for us through the blood of His cross." The Bible says, "Much more now than being justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath to come." It's not the water that flows in the water main, it's the blood that flows from Emmanuel's vein. Let us never forget the blood of Jesus Christ and how precious it ought to be. The old time religion is a bloody religion. And Jesus Christ died upon the cross of Calvary. God's blood was shed. Amen and amen. When He died upon the cross of Calvary, He Himself became a sacrifice for our sin. The sacrifice apart from the blood is useless and vain. The sacrifice apart from God's blood means nothing. I've heard preachers say that the blood of Jesus Christ has no more power than the blood of a chicken. I've heard preachers say that the blood of Jesus Christ had nothing supernatural or nothing powerful about it. It was just human blood, like the blood that flowed through the veins of every human being. And I have but one word for them. Liar!
Amen!
Liar!
Amen!
Liar! That blood is no more than human blood. All of us are without hope in this world. All of us can have no salvation. Listen, your sins can never be taken away apart from the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Never can they be removed except by the blood of Jesus Christ. Martin Luther went to bed one night. He'd been thinking about his sins that day. You know, you really get thinking about them and discourage you. He went to bed heavy that night thinking about all his sins he'd committed and how many things he'd done. He had a dream that night. He dreamed an angel stood before a blackboard. And on that blackboard, that angel was writing every sin that Martin Luther had ever committed. From the time he was a little child right on up through. And he said, "Never was I in more misery. Never was I more burdened and heavy than in that dream." He said that angel began to write sin after sin after sin. And he said, "I couldn't go erase any of them because all of them were true." And he said, as the angel wrote the list of all of my sins, he said, "It just seemed like a mountain so high that nothing could come over it." And he said, as the angel wrote, another hand came forward and across the top of that blackboard wrote, The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And He said, I woke up rejoicing as I never had done before. Brother, when you get hold of the fact that that blood can wash away all of your sins, you're going to wake up rejoicing. Amen? Amen. Some of you have been asleep and dead for a long time, but you ever get a hold of the fact that all of your sins have been washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ, never to be brought up again, you'll have yourself a good time. Amen?
Amen.
The old time religion is a bloody religion, and not only that, it is a heart religion. It's a heart religion. Now, the heart of the problem is the heart. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
I found that out a long time ago. The trouble with you is your heart. The trouble with religion and Christianity today and church is they're trying to take a dead man and make him look nice. And it can't be done. The Bible said, without the Lord Jesus Christ, you are dead in trespasses and sin. You don't need baptism. You don't need a denomination. You don't need the sacraments or good works. You need life. That's what you need. Suppose we went down to the funeral home and got a person who is dead. Now, I'm not saying this to desecrate the dead or anything, make fun of nobody. I'm just saying this by way of illustration. Suppose we did just get a person who was dead. Suppose I went down and said, hey, how did I go to church Sunday? No response. That's about what you get from most dead people. Amen. I mean, nothing. Nothing. He don't want to go. I said, well, I'll bring you. Suppose I bring you into church and set him down here on the front row. Put a suit and tie on him. Fix him up. Looks real nice. People come by, shake hands with him. See, how you doing? Fill out a visitor's card for him. There he is. Suppose when he comes forward, we baptize him. He joins the church and begins a tithe. His insurance paid off and he's going to give 10%. Suppose he began to tithe and he was a faithful attender every week. Now, we had to go by and get him, but he came. Amen. They go by and get a lot of people every Sunday, but he came every Sunday. Suppose we had communion, open his mouth, put it in there. Suppose he just never missed nothing at church. Now, I got a revelation for you. Here it is. It's pretty deep, but you hang on. You may come through on a good end. That fella's still dead. Hallelujah. He's still dead. Listen, you can dress him up in the clothes of self-righteousness. You can put him under the water a million times and let him join every church in town and put his name on every roll. But what he needs is life, life, life. Let me tell you, the old-time religion is a heart religion. You don't need to reform this outside. Outside reformation is not what you need. You need inside regeneration by the Spirit of the living God. Suppose you go out here and get you an old hog, swine, pig. Whatever you'd like to call it. All three the same, whichever name you like the best fits you. You pick it out. Amen? Suppose you got one and made a pet out of it. You ever see, I seen a guy, I had a pet hog one time. Funniest thing you ever seen. He walk his hog every day. You ever see that? I never figured out what in the world. A pet hog. I seen a picture in the paper. He had a little leash for it and everything like that. He'd just walk it around. People are crazy. I mean, they're just crazy. I mean, pet rocks, all kinds of dumb stuff you ever seen in your life. But he had him a pet hog. Suppose you got your hog. Brought him in the house. Set him down in the bathtub. Now, I said, hog, we're going to clean you up. You give him a nice bath and scrub him. Say, like that, hog? I mean, it's nice. You get that hog out of there, and then you have your wife knit him a little outfit. Oh, he just looks so pretty in it. I mean, you dress him up, paint his toenails. Just put a little ribbon in his tail. Amen. I mean, just be the prettiest thing you've ever seen. And bring him in there to the table and set him down. I say, hog, use good manners. Well, he wouldn't know no good manners. You put the food down there, he's going to eat like a hog. Amen. That's what he's going to do. You take him in there and say, now, hog, here's your bed. You want the sheets, you know, sheet on the bottom, top sheet, fold it out, get in. And he gets in. Go to sleep, Paul. Good night. That's where you sleep. The first time your door is left open wide and he sees a nice, fresh mud hole, you know what he's going to do? He's going to run and jump in the midst of that thing. And he's going to roll over and he's going to get his suit and his ribbon and his toenails dirty. He's going to be the biggest mess you ever seen. And you know why? Because he's still a hog.
Amen.
You haven't changed him a bit. All you did is dress him up. Listen, friends, can't you see that that's all you're doing if you're not trusting Jesus Christ? The trouble is, you don't need a pretty suit of clothes. You don't need a religious name or a denominational tag. You don't need some kind of a baptism to get you clean and think that you've washed away sins. You need your heart changed. You need to become a new creature in Christ Jesus. You need to be born again to the Spirit of God. You need to have a change within. A little boy sat one day watching the fellow clean a window. They're aggravating. You ever try to clean them? He had a big picture window. He cleaned them on the stores. He cleaned his window all over the outside. Little boy sitting there watching him. One little spot there. The old window cleaner came back, wet it, hit it a lick, still there. He got a rag, rubbed it, it's still there. He got some more cleanser and mixed it up and threw it on the window and washed it again. The spot was still there. The little boy said, "Fella," he said, "I think the trouble is that the spot is on the inside." Yeah. Now, I got news for you. The trouble is the spot of sin is on the inside. It's your heart that needs to be changed. The old time religion is a heart religion, and not only that, the old time religion is a personal religion. A personal religion. When you talk about that, Jesus Christ is a person. You are a person. Salvation is an individual thing that every person does, a personal relationship between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. When you as a person realize that you're a sinner, realize that Jesus Christ died for you, turn from your sins and trust the person, the Lord Jesus Christ, as your Savior, then you can have salvation. It's a personal religion. It's a personal thing between you and the Lord. He's a person. When you call upon Him and kneel and pray to Him, you talk to Him like you would a person. When you carry on a conversation, you talk to Him with reverence and fear and yet like a person. So many people so long have had this idea God was some kind of a thing way off over here that you couldn't approach Him. You had to go to somebody else to get in contact with Him. You know what I mean? And you couldn't come up there yourself because you wasn't good enough, but you could go somebody else that's better than you and pray to them and then get through and get your prayers through. God's not like that. Anybody in this room can contact God in 5 seconds. That's it. You say kneel and pray? No, you don't have to kneel. Just pray. That's all you got to do. You can get a hold of God in 5 seconds. You don't need a mediator. You don't need anybody to pray for you. You don't need anybody to intercede for you. You can get in contact with Jesus Christ as a person in 5 seconds. That's it, see? That's where people have been confused. They think religion, salvation is a church. They associate salvation with that church. Well, you say, well, I'm a Baptist. Well, what's that mean? That doesn't mean a thing. Are you saved? Well, I'm a Catholic. That's the dumbest answer anybody could ever give in their life. I mean, what's that got to do with, doesn't that do with anything? You're asking if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Well, I'm a Methodist. My mother was a Methodist. My daddy was a Methodist. I'm going to be a Methodist. Well, that's good, but do you know Jesus Christ? Salvation is in a person. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, I am the way. You know what he was? He's a person. A person. He is salvation. Listen, the old time religion is a personal religion. A Chinese man stood up in a meeting one time and gave his testimony. He said, I knocked at the door of Buddha, but I found he was dead and could not help. He said, I knocked at the door of Confucius and was more confused than I ever was before. He said, I knocked at the door of Mohammed and heard nothing but an empty ring of my knocking coming back. But he said, one day I knocked at the door, Jesus Christ. He said, He opened the door and invited me in. And I got saved. Listen, beloved, salvation is in a person. Salvation, the old time religion, is a personal religion, and all of that, it is a satisfying religion. It's satisfying. That's what I like about it. It'll satisfy. Amen? Don't you like things that satisfy? I mean, now, you know that in this world, satisfaction and a sense of satisfaction is a great feeling or a great thing for an individual to know. When you get satisfied about something, it's something that is good to know. When you've done something that's right, you can have a sense of satisfaction that is good. Not a sense of pride. That's the wrong sense to get, amen? You don't want to get a sense of pride because the Lord hates that. But you can have a sense of satisfaction in seeing that something good the Lord has done through you. Now, of course, when He does it, He's the one who does it anyway. But doesn't it do you good to see the Lord use you to win somebody else to Jesus Christ?
Amen.
I mean, He does use human beings. You know that. He had somebody roll the stone away when He went there to lap. Well, He didn't have nobody to do that. He could have just said, stone, move it. Boy, that stone would have jumped wherever He told it to jump. Move, roll, jump, fly, spin, disintegrate, disappear. Could have done anything. But He uses human beings. And there's a sense of satisfaction you can get in that. Listen, the most satisfying thing that I have ever done in this life was to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. Now, I'll tell you, nothing gave me a greater sense of satisfaction and joy and peace within my heart than trusting Jesus Christ as my Savior. Now, it'll satisfy. It'll give you peace. It'll give you assurance. Now, let me ask you, will what you've got satisfy? Will it? Does your religion completely satisfy your conscience and heart and mind? Do you have complete satisfaction knowing beyond any shadow of a doubt that if you were to die, you'd go to heaven? Do you have that? If you don't, you've been in on a bad deal. You got took. You got the wrong end of a bad deal. If what you've got does not completely satisfy, you do not have Bible salvation. Now, you have some problems and heartaches, but I'm talking about you and your relationship to God. The peace and calm and assurance that God can give you, knowing that you're saved and that heaven is your home. Do you have that? I'm thankful for the satisfaction that the Lord is able to give. I'll never forget the night I got saved. I'll never forget the peace and the calm and the satisfaction that came to my heart. I'd been so confused. I mean, Baptist people had messed me up, confused me. I went to Forward to get saved, and all I did is get wet and join the church and sit down. That's all I did. I mean, I went forward to know something about God, and they didn't tell me nothing but except something about the Baptist church. I was confused. I thought that if you got baptized and joined the church, that was all there was to it. I began to learn Scripture. For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. I come home quoting verses of Scripture from the Bible. I didn't even know nothing about being saved. Man, I tell my mom and dad, I say, well, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. And I said, that means if I die, it'll be a lot better. Of course, neither one of them saved. They thought I was cuckoo. They thought they didn't know nothing about it. You know, they pat me on the head, said, that's all right, Jimmy, you'll be all right. Don't worry about it. It'll pass. And it did. It did. It didn't give satisfaction. It didn't give peace. It did not give the calmness and assurance to my heart that I had to have. One night as a sinner, I knelt beside my bed. And I said, Lord, I don't know nothing about this Bible. I don't know nothing much about what's going on. I said, I know I'm a sinner. And I know if I die right now, I'm going to go to hell. And I said, Lord, I want you to save me. I want you to save me. I asked him about 30, 40 times. I can't remember how many times. I'll make sure he heard everything I'm saying. I asked him to save me over and over again. Listen, the sweet Spirit of God spoke a satisfaction and peace to my heart that nothing else could ever do. You can find satisfaction temporarily in a lot of things. Dope, alcohol, immorality, perversion. There's only one complete and final satisfaction, and that's in the old-time religion. The old-time religion, last of all, it's a dying man's religion. Every one of you are dying. Every human being is born to die. Every one of us. We come into this world to leave this world. And unless the Lord Jesus Christ comes back soon, which if I have anything to say about it, He will. Unless He comes back soon, we're going to face death. We're going to die. Every one of us is going to stand face to face with death. You're going to die. I think one of the greatest realities that anybody can have is a reality of death. It's real. You pick up that paper and look over there in the obituaries and see those names, so-and-so, left behind husband, wife, brothers, sisters, children, grandchildren, member of this church, and one thing and another. They're gone. They're gone. You walk down there, about 21 years old. A boy, 14 years old. A man, 50 years old. Death is no respecter of age nor person. You could die anytime. You said, you trying to scare me? Now you getting the idea. I'm trying to scare you into thinking. That's all I'm trying to do. Listen, the old time religion is a dying man's religion. An old Christian lay dying. When he did, he called his family in. And him opened the Bible to Romans chapter 8. The last two verses there, and he put his hand on it. He said, that's what I'm dying by right there. And he said, children, I want you to know, I had breakfast with you this morning. I'm going to have supper tonight with Jesus. Amen. Now you tell me anything better to know than that. Boy, you tell me something sweeter to know than that. An old soldier lay on the battlefield dying. He said, water. Water, just a drop, one drop. One of his buddies came to him, picked up his canteen and said, it's empty. He said, there's nothing in it. He said, just give me a drop of that water. Just give me a drop of that water. He looked in his canteen, didn't have any water in it. He said, there's no water around. Finally, the soldier looked up and said, I'm not talking about that water. He said, give me that book right over there. Give me that Bible and just give me a drop of that water. Give me a drop of that living word. Give me a drop of that. As I die, I can go out listening to the word of God. It's a dying man's religion. You're dying. You're going to face death if Jesus doesn't come. My friend, are you ready? Are you? If not, get ready today. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Paul said, if any man or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel than that which you've heard, let him be accursed. Let God curse him. The gospel according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is that Jesus Christ died according to the Scriptures, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The gospel, my friend, is simply this. Jesus Christ came into this world, died on the cross of Calvary, and shed His blood to pay for your sins. He gave His life as a sacrifice for you. He died so that you wouldn't have to die. He suffered so that you wouldn't have to suffer. He loves you. He wants to see you saved. My friend, the old-time religion is a person. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. All you need to do today is realize you're a sinner. Realize that you're dying. Know that without the Lord Jesus Christ, you have no hope of getting to heaven. You see, friend, salvation is not in your church or good works. Salvation is a person. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Do you have the Son? Is there a time in your life when you turn to Him, ask for forgiveness of sins, and received Him as your personal Savior? If there was, you have Bible salvation. If you don't, you need it today. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to ask you a question. If you're here today, and there's been a time in your life when you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, You can look back and know there was a time when you received Him. You're saved and you know that. Raise your hand as a word of testimony to that. Please, if you cannot, if you don't know, don't raise your hand. Thank you. You may put your hand down. Almost everyone that I can see could raise a hand. Maybe there's somebody that couldn't. Maybe there's somebody here this morning or listening by way of radio that's not saved. If you're here this morning in this church and you've never been saved, you can't look to a time in your life when you received the Lord as your Savior. You're willing to admit that this morning and have us pray for you. Would you put your hand up? Just raise it, and by raising your hand, saying, "Preacher, I'm not saved. I never received the Lord as my Savior. Pray for me." Is there one that'll raise a hand and say, "Pray for me"? Is there one? Just raise your hand and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I've never been saved. I've never trusted the Lord." Thank you. I see that hand. Anyone else? Raise their hand and say, "Pray for me, preacher. I've never been saved. I don't know what real salvation is. I never received the Lord as my Savior. Pray for me." Is there somebody? Raise their hand. Now, Father, we pray for these that are here this morning, those that may hear by way of radio. We pray for the salvation of their soul. We pray if there's one person who knows nothing of the old-time religion, what it really is, and has never really been saved or born again, we pray that You'd speak to the heart and save them. We pray that You'd show them their need of salvation and being born again. And I ask and pray today would be their day of salvation. Today they'd turn from their sin and trust Thee, and I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand together. What number is it? 249. I'm going to sing just a verse or two of the invitation. If you're here today and you're not saved, you've never trusted the Lord as your Savior, I want you to come 249, just as I am, and trust Him. Sing together on the first one. Right now. Come on. You're not saved. Don't know it for sure. Come on, right now. Sing on the second. Just. You're here and lost today. Come on, right now, will you? Right now. Come, let us show you how to be saved. Let's bow our heads for just a minute. The organist plays softly. Not everybody this morning could raise their hand that they were saved. Why you couldn't, I don't know. Maybe you don't know for sure. Maybe you're not saved. But I pray the truth of the Word of God would reach your heart today. And I pray that if you haven't come forward during the invitation, before you leave this building this morning, you'd trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. You'd get somebody by the hand, or walk up to somebody and say, "I'd like to know how to be saved. I'd like to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to know what this is really all about." And Father, I pray that You'd bless the words of this message today. And Lord, I know it's not a new message. It's been preached many a time before. But Lord, it's the only real message of salvation we have. May it reach the heart and the ears of some person today that's lost. Somebody here today that's never been saved, they couldn't raise their hand. May this message of the Holy Spirit of God convict them and show them their need of Jesus Christ. Lord, there's somebody listening on the radio that's lost. May they turn from their sin and turn to Thee. We commit them into Your hands and pray that You'll watch over them, speak to them, Don't let them wait till it's too late. Don't let them wait till there's no hope, while they're living, while they have opportunity. May they turn to Jesus Christ and trust Him. It's in His name we pray and ask all these things. Amen. Lord bless you and good day. Thank you.